Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Daring to Be Different with the Yaya Diamond Show, and it's an edition of the Dream Chasers Network. And I wanted to start off the show with Mr. William Turner is on the show today, and welcome to the show, Mr. Turner.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, we have to finish what we were starting, so I really want to know, now you got me all up in arms. He was telling a joke before we started. I really wanted to find out what the punchline was.
The thing is this, the married guy was having an affair, and a torrid one, and his wife knew, threw it up in her face and all of this. And he told her, he says, you know, I'm dying, and my estate, the biggest of it you will get, but my most expensive cars, he was a collector, I wanted to go to my mistress, and I want you to sell them and give her the money. Naturally, the wife was anguished, and so she was resolved. She sold every last one of the cars, called the woman over, went into her purse, and gave her a dollar. She says, I sold them all for a dollar. You've been paid.
Oh, my God.
I lived up to the letter of the will. He told me to sell them all and to give you the money, and I did. I sold them all for a dollar. And here you are. You've been paid for your service.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. It just goes to show you that, you know, you have to be smart.
You do.
You have to be smart. Just like the one I was telling you about earlier about the man who says, you know what? He tells his wife, I want to be buried with all my money. So when he did die, she wrote him a check and buried it with him.
And then, you know, she would have been even smarter had she put a stop payment on it.
Well, I tell you one thing. It's wonderful to have you on the show and to start the show with such a good note. Oh, my gosh, this is hilarious. You really can't take it with you. Well, Mr. Turner, you're here today, and I wanted to find out exactly what you do and to tell people exactly what you do.
I retired from the state of California as a supervisor, specifically processing claims and paying, making sure the providers were adequately compensated. And since my retirement, I've been writing murder mysteries. And my debut mystery was A Murder in Our Midst. And I was really surprised at the reviews that I received. And one of my employees told me, he says, Mr. Turner, you have some reviews. My heart had sunk. And with temerity, I went to the computer, popped up Amazon.com. I had received some glowing reviews, 2 4-star stars out of 5 and 2 5-star stars out of 5. The San Francisco newspaper gave me a glowing review also. And I said, well, I'm on my way.
Wow.
And I have outlined, and I am near finished with Death Comes for the President. And I love the approach that I took. And one thing about my style of writing, all of the reviews stated we had adequate clues, but it kept us guessing until the very end.
That is awesome. Okay, so you got the reviews from the newspaper. And for, I mean, it, how did this affect you? I knew it was great. I know you felt wonderful, but I'm talking about writing and your determination to do another one.
It's a humbling experience, and you don't attempt to try to emulate your previous success. You start fresh, and hoping that it's not so much hoping, it's that you do your best and hope that it meets with the same success or more success. That is mm-hmm. the most important thing. You cannot emulate, duplicate prior successes. Each one is a different experience. It is like making a stellar peach cobbler. Your family loves it. And the next time, you said, well, I got to make sure that they love this. No, you just go in there and make it the same way you made the other and hope that they enjoy that. And don't prod them for, well, do you like this? How does it compare to the other and all of this? Mm-hmm. Each one must stand on its own merits.
That's very important. Because so many people, after they write a successful song or a successful, try to match it by outdoing the last one, when each one has its own life, its own
a different approach, different characters, a different plot, and different characters that are interacting. I took this course in college, Aberrant Behavior. I enjoyed that course. Needless to say, I did get an A out of it. And the reason I say this is that human beings act in certain ways. And the family, those are the individuals who can tell when the behavior started, what is the nature of the behavior, and the only thing that they cannot do is put a label on it. But with these input, they can tell the doctor, he started this. This was what he did. This is how he reacted and all this. It's like, oh, God, I know exactly what that is. As opposed to just taking them cold turkey. Well, what's wrong with you? You know. You're the doctor. And so the family knows. That's the most important thing. And with my characters, something that was pointed out to me was that they are so believable. People can identify with it. Is that... Say, for instance, someone breaks into your house. You do a news interview. I hope they enjoyed it. I spent this for it and all of this. No, you fortify the house to make sure it doesn't reoccur.
Correct. Definitely.
Right.
Wow.
And so people it's just like in California. We have these high gas prices at the pump. And here these people are. There's money coming out their pocket, and they're smiling like they're doing a cameo and all of this. I find it so frustrating because every time I go to the pump, I'm looking how much is a gallon and all of this. And I said, well, what is their take on this? Some are traveling great distances, and here they are smiling. I know complaining is not going to help, but you can get the legislators to find out why we in California are paying more than everybody else.
Right. And
so here you are at the pump. If the gas companies were to see this, well, they seem happy. Let us continue the present program.
Right. So, I mean, when you – it's so much – in there, and it's so many different facets that you brought up. But writing seemed to be the base of what you're speaking about. You're speaking about becoming vocal through your writing. When you're doing
when I do a murder mystery, I'm a very lazy writer. I wait until I got this salient thought. And like a dot. And then I start building around it. And characters a character who has perpetrated this homicide, who feels that he has a sophisticated mind that he will get away with it. And then you pit him against, you might call him a slow detective, a diligent detective, and say, well, here's a flaw, and here's something that you overlooked. Not something glaring, but something that nails you as the murderer. It's, I love Perry Mason, and we dash off to these attorneys. But Perry Mason, it is so clear, not to the point that he has to hammer it in your head so you won't forget it. He has Paul Drake, an investigator, who gets all of the evidence, and then he presents it to Perry, and then Perry ferries through it. He says, oh. He winnows it through, and then he says, this is the one who did this. I watch it every day. And that is influential, but I just want to be creative. I don't want someone to say that he has copied this, he's copied that. I got one review, and the guy says that I'm following clumsily in the footsteps of Agatha Christie. And I said, I wonder if I've been, no, that was my mailman. I was wondering if I'd been insulted. And so I talked to some other people, said, no, Billy, you've been complimented. Because that lady was absolutely fantastic in her writing. And so to be put in that category, I enjoyed it. I revel in it, the comparison.
That is an honor.
It is.
Yes, it is.
And so people, when they endeavor to do something like this, they can't be focused on pleasing everybody. You must be focused on doing your best. You will be criticized. You will be told you could have done this, you could have done that. And so you say, well, I did my best. Maybe the next one will be better than the first, and you might enjoy that. It was one lady, I was on the Metrolink, and she says, I bought your book. I said, I'm glad you did. And she says, but I couldn't identify with anybody in the book. I say, well, I didn't know you when I was writing it. And I hope that she... it's an upscale mystery. And she should have been able to identify with the plot. Case in point, we have best friends. And we will go to the limit for our best friend. Raymond and Robert both came from California. They met at Harvard. The only thing they had in common was California. And Robert's father died during his last years at Harvard. But he and Raymond had become very close. Raymond, Caucasian, his father is a multi-billionaire. And Robert's father was a postman. They forged a friendship, a viable friendship, that transcended the times, the most turbulent times in American history. And Robert soon realized that to make friends, he must first be one. So when they graduated, Raymond went to work for his father. And Robert became a police officer. And he became disgruntled because he felt that he had been passed over for well-deserved promotions. He resigns and goes to England out of the frustration. Although his letters to Raymond were cheerful, Raymond had come to know him. Something is wrong. So they used their international influence, found out that he was unemployed, and got him a job with Scotland Yard. He handled the case for the Queen of England so delicately, so privately, that she knighted him Robert is on his way. But his friend Raymond sends him a letter. Say, I want you to come right away. Somebody in my family is trying to kill me.
Oh.
Robert drops everything. I mean, literally drops everything. Goes to the aid of his friend. When he gets to fashionable Pasadena, it is true. Raymond is dead. And they said that he had died from, he had terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Unable to deal with it, he took poison and killed himself. Robert said, no. He never would have done that. Robert finds himself embroiled in an investigation of the family that had welcomed him as one of their own. That's how close he and Raymond had become. And he found that they had closed ranks. And he was like they were indifferent. He didn't understand that. So he starts an investigation, uncovers other murders committed by different culprits, but with a common motive.
Now you're going to come back and read the rest of the story to me, right?
I moved on to death calls for the president.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
But you know, we all have friends. And, you know, the media is saying that Caucasians and African Americans are at each other's throats. That is not true. African Americans have problems with the police department. The police have problems with the African Americans. And let me throw this in. When you are stopped and told to put your hands up or whatever, you don't say, how come? Why? Why me? You comply.
Mm-hmm.
And so a thing about friendship is that you find on that individual those signs that set him or her apart from all others. That is the basis for the people we marry, people we date, our friends, and all of this. You find that you have more in common than you don't have in common. You say, my God, what are your goals? I'd like to get a nice house. I'd like to get my kids to college and all of this. Oh, well, I don't. I would like to live in the ghetto. I don't care if my kids go to school or not. We have the things in common. We are more alike than we are disalike.
Yeah.
And my book was how can I put this? It reflected these things.
Mm-hmm.
African American, Caucasian, they have formed a viable, enviable friendship. And that, I'll tell you this, it wasn't my intent, but everything just fell into place.
Awesome. Where can people find you?
I'm on, they can find the book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other book outlets. And if they would like to reach out to me, it is Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R, 14_2000_2000 at yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I would like to tell you this, too, is that when you are writing, you cannot be thin-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
People might tell you they don't like it, they can't identify with it, and all of this. You use those things to your benefit. Why didn't you like it? How do you think I could have perfected it? And if you're rejected by a publisher, there's always self-publishing. It was a literary agent in, I think it was South Carolina. She says what's important is that you get your material before the people, the public. They are the ultimate critics.
Right.
And so
you
can't give up.
You must keep
prodding.
You should not give up. You're right. But certain people do give up. You know why? And it's you know, sometimes it's just overwhelming and they think it, that it cannot be done, or they just don't understand the process of how to do it correctly, so they stop. But you know, when I had learned that you don't have to necessarily write in order. You can go kind of by your inspiration at the moment and put it together later. Did you do something like that, or were you from cover to cover?
What I had done, I outlined it. Only so much stuff you can stick in a bag before you have to close it. And it's the, the benefit of an outline, it keeps you from straying. Mm-hmm. It focuses you. And this, this, and this. And with your characters, you are dressing like a mannequin. Mm-hmm. Top to bottom, bottom to top, side to side. Mm-hmm. And people feel that they've written definitively. The publisher's going to love this. Their work must be professionally edited.
Yes.
When you send it. The day of publishers editing your material has long gone. There's a thing in the past. I think it ended with Hemingway. And when they do this, you would have to question, are those words mine or theirs? Or are you just sitting back enjoying the end result? But pride, these are my words, and I have it professionally edited. Now, the danger of this is this. Even after you've had it edited, someone else will come along and say, you know what, this should be edited. And then you, wait a minute, the person that edited it was has a master's degree in English. What are your credentials? I have a master's degree in English, too. You do. And so you're saying that you can do a much better job than the one that I paid to have it edited? That's a scam to get your money. But once you've taken that precaution to have it edited, when you send it to the publisher, they can. Normally they tell you to do, consecutive chapters, three, and to do a query letter outlining what the book is about and all of this. It was one publisher. She stated that when she read the guy's query letter, she was just blown out of her chair. And she had to sign him up right away and get the book published. And luckily, they had the query letter online. I said, is anything fascinating about this? There was a picture that accompanied the query letter. The man was an Adonis. He was eye candy. And so, you don't fault him for that, how he got his foot in the door. But it wasn't from the quality of his query letter. And another thing, too, is this. A query letter is much more difficult than to write than the book, because you are selling the book. Well, it's this, this, and this, and this. And if you're rejected, you say, well, maybe I didn't say enough, maybe I said too much, and all of this. People must realize that publishing now is highly subjective. They walk into the office, they see a manuscript, oh, throw that away. And one day they may walk in a good mood, everything, all of the stars have aligned. I like this. You have a catchy sentence or a phrase or whatever. It's luck, absolute luck, and hope that you land on the desk of someone who's had a good night's sleep, their sex life is okay, and they don't have any stress and strains. But if they're going frustrated like most of us do, I don't want to be bothered. I'm not reading that.
and
all of those things come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I admire women so. They work, they go home, cook dinner, put the kids to bed, and all of this. I come home, I'm not cooking anything. And so you are balancing. You're all over the place. And then so you come in all of this. But those are the things that publishers are the same way. And agents, they're those elusive creatures. We don't know where they hang out, what they do, and all of this. But one thing is a fact, is that they have debts. They have bills to pay. So when they mm-hmm. take on someone, they want you to be revenue producing. They're
right.
not going to take their money and say, well, I see this embryonic talent. Let me nurture it. They don't have the funds for that. They
right.
want something that's commercial, viable, that they can take off running. And a lot of the people who aspire to be writers must realize that the publishers are looking for someone, if they invest in you, they want the quality of your work to be in the same playing field of established writers. There is no affirmative action. There is no leg up. There is no hand-holding. And if they offer a suggestion, you must be able to understand what they're saying and to follow their instructions.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, this has been a very informative show. We're almost done. It's almost been 30 minutes. And I am telling you that I have learned so much about just so many different things about writing and about, you know, publishing and about putting it out there and everything. Can you tell people one more time where they can reach you?
They can reach me at turner14_2000_2000@yahoo.com.
That's wonderful. You know, we all need mentors in our life. I believe that, you know, not only can you write, not only have you received wonderful reviews on your first book, and now your second, which you've gotten me, like, so intrigued. By the way, I'm probably not going to sleep well tonight at all. But anyway, it's wonderful to have these things that you know and put them out there, because there are people that are coming up that are writing that need to know this. They need this. They need to know about these pitfalls and these things. And it's very important. And I thank you so much for sharing that with us. Your next book, what is it called again?
Death Comes for the President.
You sure you're not going to get in trouble for that?
No. You know, the only thing that I'm concerned about is that they might just apply to the first president. But I like, it's like, what is this? I think it was O. Henry who had these surprise endings. And I don't want to be predictable. It was just like one review says he takes you here, he takes you there, he brings you in the middle, then he takes you in the back. And then you say, my God, there it is right there. And so I give you a quick gist. The president had left the United States on an economic summit. He had gone to China, and then he had ended up in Turkey, and he returned to the United States. After Air Force One had landed, they said, well, we're back in the good old U.S. of A. And they tried to rouse him, and he wouldn't wake up. He was dead. He had been poisoned. And so they hired my detective, because this is a series, is that to retrace his steps, because this was a favorite of the American people. They wanted to retaliate and make sure that they retaliated against the right party. So my detective goes to China. He goes to Turkey and all of this. And the poison that the president had ingested focuses on Turkey. Slam dunk. But my detective says, you know what, this is this is too obvious in all of this. So he looks at everything, picks everything apart. And his sidekick, he admonishes him because he felt that the other murders that were committed was connected.
Well, we got to stop you there because we got about 15 seconds left on the show.
Okay.
But I need people to get that book. I need you to purchase the book because I'm listening to it and I'm already intrigued, and I want to know. I want to know. So thank you so much for being on the show, Mr. Turner. It has been a wonderful, wonderful time, and I am sure that your book is going to be just as wonderful as the one before. Thank you again so much.
And thank you for the interview. I had a good time.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. And hey, everybody out there, if you need to go back and listen to this one again, you're gonna need to go back and take notes, because I'm telling you, he has given you so many different wonderful things and so many different points. You need to know these things if you're gonna become a successful writer and an effective writer. Thank you so much for joining us right here on the Yaya Diamond Show, the edition from the Dream Chasers Network. And we're gonna go close. Hey, don't forget to dare. And to dare. I dare you to be different.
I dare to be different. I dare to be different. I dare to be different.